Peter, what is it good for?
Going anywhere, handsome?
Going for gold 3, halftime scores.
What in a name?
Don't read all about it.
Armed aggro again in Avic.
Near, far, wherever you are, we hope you'll go on.
As heralded in last week's show, we can now officially declare that an outbreak of peace has finally landed on the galaxy. And as they say, there was much rejoicing. Okay, the galaxy is a very big place. Unbelievably big. And the peace arrived in a very small part of it, but we'll take it where we can get it. Yes, the Paladin Consortium and their antagonists, the awful Eggypoos, also known as the EGPU, have finally declared a cessation to hostilities and have stopped bashing 9 bells out of each other. With Sugrovic having changed hands over to the EGPU, they are now engineering a retreat from all other Paladin systems. Might take a while, they're dragging their heels just a little, and a neutral zone has been established. The age-old principles of, we were here first, look, we stuck a flag in it, now applies to any future expansions in any direction between these two neighbours. After 6 months, enough ranking to send you blind and billions upon billions of credits changing hands in trade, exploration data, and of course mission rewards, it's time for the Paladins to break out the big broom and sweep away the detritus of war. They're bashing their breastplates into plowshares, their beam lasers into cosmetic surgery equipment, and their Kevlar undercrackers into jaunty-looking pennants to fly on anniversaries. Their management team have sent their thanks to Hutton Orbital for all the help and asked that we tot up the Hutton Top Trucker totals and see who is in line for plaudits and praise from Paladins for pursuing the peace so proficiently. As a famous man once said, it looks like it's time to give peace a chance. Or maybe just have a rummage around the community chest.
There was chaos today as Apex Taxis declared their second galaxy-wide strike, devastating the plans of many, and I'll have to admit, I'm working from handwritten notes here, it looks like computers. Not sure why that would be the case, but there you are. Some pilots were forced to stock up on water and batteries and walk to the next town on foot. Others had to practice their new emotes and stick their thumb out in the hope of attracting attention of passers-by and hope that the first thing that they said wasn't, "I've been looking for you." Fleet carriers went on a go-slow in sympathy, and it was only because of hanky buses and the like that anything moved in the galaxy on Tuesday. Despite the hardships caused by the temporary dearth of blue-painted haulers, people have been, by and large, very sympathetic. We go over now to our roving reporter, who will interview members of the public as if they have some magic insight into the dispute that's going on all around them, and not just a way for us to fill the airtime on the cheap. Are you there, Harry?
Yes, thank you, Wilma. It's really nice to get out of that lovely, comfortable studio for a change and stand around in that draught that always catches you in the back of the neck near the hangar lift doors, or watch people in the bar desperately trying to catch the barman's eye in a vain attempt to get a drink to sustain them on their weary way home. So don't you worry about me, I'll just find people who are desperate for their 15 seconds of fame and let them bang on about something for a while. Excuse me, why do you think that the Apex Taxis have gone on strike?
What? Obvious, isn't it? I hear Thumpery's flavour ice cream's been taken out of the Docker's canteen. I wouldn't stand for that, so I don't see why they should.
And you?
I know why. It's because management wanted me to go south of the galactic plane after midnight. And you can't blame them in that part of the galaxy because there's roving gangs of incontinent explorers. You know, the leaky finders. They make that area very unpleasant.
Sir?
I think it's just that Apex taxi drivers are paranoid. That folks are talking behind their back.
Madam?
Those Apex taxi uniforms are too revealing.
Pardon?
Apex taxi uniforms. They've sewn the labels on the outside so you can see how big they are. Sizes, if you ask me.
It's no fair. Red Planet Taxi Service are a little and taller than the medium pads, but Apex are forced to use the small one.
Don't mention my name, will you? I'm an Apex driver. Give you an example, right? Tell you who I had in the back of my taxi last week. That Lee Yong-ri. Rubbish tipper for a gazillionaire. Lee Yong-ri discount? Lee Yong-ri's dat count, as far as I'm concerned.
I heard they're not happy that so many customers book under the name Spartacus and try to put everything on one bill.
I hear the taxi service has been quite spotty. More of an acne carriage.
And there you have it. Lots of reasons why Apex taxis went on strike, and I bet none of them come even close. But before I hand you back to those comfortable bastards in Studio 5, I'd ask you to spare a thought for the drivers themselves. They don't have it easy. For example, they can only get a license if they pass a stringent test of how to get from one star to another without using the galaxy map. The exam is carried out on a special platform high up on the edge of the roof of the Union Building, and they have to walk, blindfolded, along beams that have been laid out in a configuration that's designed to force them to take the correct and shortest path between the labelled spots representing the stars. If they get an answer wrong, if they misjudge where to put their foot, they'll fall off the edge of the roof. This is called doing the no ledge.
At 4 weeks in, and with 4 weeks to go, the maths graduates amongst us have deduced that we're at the halfway stage of Going for Gold 3, Hutton's current squadron exploration event. In an extraordinarily consistent performance, Hutton are lying sixth in the squadron table with about 2.4 billion points, with the leaders on 7 billion. With the front runners stretching out their weekly lead at triple R score, and despite the words on the cover of your favourite book, you might start to think about having a little panic during the next week or so. There are still 4 weeks to go, and surely, hopefully, the hardcore explorers will be leaving it to the last possible moment to dump their Carto data after rinsing it through the Lee Yong-ri Carto money laundering machine. We now have almost 50 truckers contributing data to the overall effort, with many more still out there yet to make their mark. If you want to see what is going on, go to the Going for Gold 3 events page at hot.forthemug/goingforgold. After only in a week, at number one as top scorer, Happy Moon Monkey, who was leading with 707 million credits, has been swept into second by Montgomery Python, who dumped an emphatic 2 billion credits, making up a full third of the Hutton haul of 6 billion, and who snatches the Who Wants to Be First to a Billion star prize. It's a tea towery out the abyss, but it's all yours. Other new entries into the 100 million club this week are Guthwine and Lubber. It isn't too late to take if you want to take part. All you have to do is to have the Hutton Helper running. Download it from hot.forthemug.com. You need to be in the Hutton Squadron. That's Hut, as in H-U-T-T, not as in ridiculously expensive Shepherd's Hut. And you need to sell your cartographic exploration data before 7 a.m. on Thursday, the 21st of July, 3308. You have 4 weeks left, so get out there and get busy scanning. Commander Chicks will be along later with the last part of his tips and tricks, where he highlights all the things that are likely to kill you, but much, much more importantly than that, lose all your lovely data.
Age to ship naming aren't anything new. but most of them are based around trying to squeeze the most double entendres into a name, squeezing it tight because that's the way they like that you like it. Here from the stable that brought you how to outfit and fly your ship to earn bounties that require a mathematics degree to calculate, route planners, a way to work out how many friends you'll need if you want to go all the way, and more besides, comes the latest work from Alex Zuno and Vulcarius, a mighty ship name generator. By that I mean a generator of names worthy of mighty ships, not that there's a bloody great computer, just in case you wondered. The names are prefixed with INV for Imperial Navy Vessel, but I don't think they'll accuse you of plagiarism if you take one of the names and quietly rub off the first three letters. The names are designed to strike fear into anyone who bothers to read them, as the nameplate flies past your enemy's cockpit moments before they explode. Or else they're a way of saying, I may be a living ganglion of irreconcilable antagonisms, but my ship has a cool name. When the show finishes, not now for goodness sake, we have enough trouble keeping views without you nipping off halfway through. Only then, should you go to INIV.space/name and have a go. Our first attempts gave us INV Prelude to Hope, INV Empress's Victory, INV Eminent Fire, INV Omen of Flame, INV Empress's Divinity, INV Path of Light, and Humanity's Guardian. No INV prefix. Vulcarius, pay attention. The vocabulary is deliberately limited at the moment to keep the names within the theme, but it is intended for this to expand, so there's still hope for something inappropriate to slip out, if you see what I mean.
There has been a bit of a kerfuffle this week, as regular viewers will be aware. Last week's show definitely did not have any script whatsoever. However, it's turned out that an earlier edition of last week's Hutton Orbital News did indeed have a script. That version of the script included a story that could have caused much embarrassment to President Hudson, as it covered an incident that occurred in the time before his narrow escape and the vote of no confidence, back when he was a congressman and he is alleged to have tried to get a job for someone that it appears he knew intimately. We're told that he wanted her to be in charge of his staff, as apparently she had plenty of hands-on experience in that area. We're not sure if she ever did get that substantial post under her belt, but she's currently to be seen at Hudson's side day and night. So draw your own conclusions. Following a meeting between Hutton radio script editor and someone from Hudson's office, who arrived wearing sunglasses indoors with a moment's box banger about whom he said, he's hungry. A later edition of last week's script was published with that story removed, and presumably in an attempt to divert attention and suspicion, almost all of the rest of the script as well. We regret any actions that we may have taken that could be viewed as interfering with our journalistic integrity. We deny that any money changed hands for this, and we ask that you kindly do not slam the solid gold door on your way out.
With 5 systems below 40% and 5 adverse states, adding some colour to the Master Display Situation Threat Board, it has been an interesting week in Hutton space. An old adversary returns, a bust is prolonged, there's disease about, and a couple of system failures, and it feels like old times. More on those stories coming up. Our listener will no doubt be reassured to hear that order has been restored to the galaxy. Well, not whole galaxy, that would be quite an ask, but Hutton's little corner of it. Yes, Barnard's star is back at the bottom of the pile on 36. The remaining rabble are in yet another war, tying up 20% of influence, but there's still room to make some gains. Epsilon Indy, our largest system, home to over 90% of Alvin's subjects, is barely a point above it on 37 and is still suffering from an outbreak after a week. Fleet carriers have been on station offering discounted medication, but so far no takers. All you have to do is ship it into the large pad stations and earn yourself a small fortune in the process. LFP 525-39 and Ross 671 are somewhat out of sorts and are keeping each other company on 37. If you recall, some weeks ago, the BGS news was full of the Sirius mega corporation bullying our little system of AVIC, which is on 39%, choosing their moment to strike carefully just after Hutton News went off the air last week. They're back at it again. Initially going up 2-0 after their sneak attack, Hutton Pilots and our allies pulled it back, winning 3 days in a row to make it 3-2. Hutton only need to win one of the next 2 days, and Sirius need to win both for victory and control of the system. It has become clear that the same batch of dodgy filters, which caused the infrastructure failure in Trepin last week, were also fitted in Y08-55-0714, where systems have also failed on Yamazaki Landing, so shipping water purifiers and power generators to relieve the situation in both systems. The two-week bust in Wolf 25 still needs lifting, so lend a hand or two to support the situation. At the overachieving end of the Hutton Systems table, we have just four systems above 60% and one above 70, from which we will be expanding very soon. Priorities this week are: if you want to truck something, relieve the bust in Wolf 25, relieve the infrastructure failures in Trepin and Wise 0855-0714, boost Barnard Star, Ross 671 and LP525-39. If you want to shoot something, defend AVIC from Sirius attack. It'll all be over by the weekend.
Community, it's all about taking part, and every week we bring you news of events, whether it's expeditions that take months or just an afternoon to play with friends. And this week we've updates from: does the sun still rise in the east in the east? 5 euro tours at the Eldritch Gate, and the latest from those buckyballing scamps. For someone who's been absent for such a long time, Commander the Presence's presence is still very much present, even when he's a long way away in Does the Sun Still Rise in the East, Week 16.
Commander the Presence, still here in the Tenebrae sector after a difficult week. Things started on a downward spiral when Captain Shinrik was in Sol and I was stuck with the dilemma of what to do with a spare ton of conger ale. I distilled the choices down to keep it or jettison it. However, no self-respecting silverback would countenance anything other than disposing of it in the manner for which it was created. Yet I really needed the cargo space for more bio samples if and when the opportunity arises. This led to the very complex equation of how many pints a day I must drink to remove all the ale by the time I return to Kajira. 12 is the answer, and thus the difficulty. It has become difficult for me to get out of bed in the mornings due to the headaches and nausea. I'm plotting a straight course. Hash proven to be an exercise in futility. I've no idea how I managed to land on planets, and scanning has me pointing the genetic sampler at the specimen in the middle. Ironically, due to the impact of the beer on a diet of food cartridges, I now have several species of Bacterium bularis growing, nay, thriving, on the inside of my canopy, and I'm having to wear my Artemis suit indoors for fresh air. I'm also relegated to standing on the shoulders of giants as I keep finding systems first discovered by a certain Commander Chicks. You need to stay off the beaten path, mate. Honestly, what chance has a mere mortal got against these odds? Never mind, we'll soldier on, and I'm determined to make it to Waypoint 13 by next week's report. If only I wasn't craving pickled eggs and sherbet to go with the last 1,916 pints of conger ale. Until then, I'll shove 'em.
Commander Hunter seems to think that he's being charged by the word for this week's report from 5 euro tours, but the picture he sends shows that they're still having fun.
Hello everyone. Greetings from Colonia this weekend, as we'll be arriving there, hopefully, in one piece. Well, except for one more commander who suddenly registered as deceased, another perished soul among the stars. Rest in pieces, Commander. We're already on one third of our journey with plenty more to see. Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay cool. 07.
Commander Richard Flunes M is getting very excited about his expedition, as it's only 3 weeks away, but we don't seem to have anyone from Hutton joining officially. If you're curious, talk to us and we'll try to put you in touch with like-minded folks, and maybe we'll have a delegation. Anyway, the commander sends us this from his supply depot.
The Independent Explorers Association communication relay to Hutton Orbital Radio. Hello! Today we are reporting the preparation of At the Eldritch Gate. Since last time we sent the news, we've had 6 more organizations joining us, bringing the number to 12. Numbers have also doubled and excitement is off the charts. With more carriers signing on the effort every day, it seems that the Vulcan Gate region will get pretty lit up with visitors in the upcoming months. Speaking about visitors, we are extending an invitation to the members of Hutton Orbital Radio to attend our gala event at the Inverness as guests. Not as members of the expedition, as I've been peer pressuring them in the last 3 broadcasts. I'm trying to get as many famous explorers to attend the community calendar event to be rescheduled. And perhaps we would be more than honored to receive the members of Hutton Orbital on the gala while everyone comes and visit. Mark your calendars, Thursday the 14th. The members of Galnet News Digest are also very welcome. For more information about the event and the expedition you guys should totally participate in, feel free to contact Richard. Jokes aside, if you guys would like to attend this event and then leave to come back to the bubble, that would be great. And he's put in brackets, don't add this, I can give you a ride back to the bubble. IEA out.
The Pokeballers are having to manage without Alex Turner for a few days, as he's lying in a deck chair sipping cocktails. Still, it means a chance for someone else to grab that elusive fifth place, eh? In Alex's absence, Commander Rako has stepped into the bridge and sends us this message and a short video so that we don't miss Alex too much. Welcome to round 5 of the Buckyball Racing Club Magic 8 Ball Championship, the Seven Sisters Speedway Remixed. This race is an edited rerun of a BRC race originally run in 3305, which was itself a reimagining of one of the earliest BRC events, the Pleiades Hip Hop, and is also co-hosted by longtime Buckyball fans and notorious bootleggers, Fat Tony and Little Nook, aka the Lonigan Brothers. Take off from Orm Horizons in HIP 29312, near to the edge of the bubble, and take a whirlwind tour around some of the stations and installations of the Seven Sisters in the Pleiades Nebula, then race back to Orm Horizons. The course has been slightly tweaked since last time to include a visit to the glorious Prospect megaship, made famous for its part in the development of the anti-Xeno superweapon. Last time, alongside the main event, the most crazy, or should I say daring, commanders could earn time bonuses by flying fast through checkpoints, with the lowest adjusted time claiming Nook's Kamikaze Cup. This time, the shenanigans are incorporated into the main event, but not for the top 3 positions. They'll use unadjusted times. So do you gamble that you're fast enough for the podium, or do you take part in the shenanigans to maximise your bonus and go for the crazy 4th place? Optional bonuses include such shenanigans as Thargoid baiting, visiting your favourite Pleiades tourist beacon, and the now infamous Nook's Coup de Grace. Dare you risk it all for a big bonus right at the end? Either way, both the race and the shenanigans began on Friday 17th of June and finish at 2359 UTC, Monday 27th of June, 3308. I'd just like to sign off with this video of Alex showing how to combine the Zen Archer and like an elite racer shenanigans. Do not try this at home. Interested in these events? The links were posted in the chat and we'll also add them in the description of the YouTube version of this show. Do you know of any that we ought to cover? Email itookpart@huttonorbital.com and bring us up to speed.